Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Normally, I do this alone, but we had a lot of fun on this episode. Our guests today are Justin Burrow from Captain...
Good luck!
Sorry, we talked about this early on in the episode. Captain Foxheart's Bad News Bar.
Later in the episode.
No, it's first. It was early.
This is the introduction.
So you're
talking about something that's happening later for the
listening. We talked about how hard it is to say once you've been drinking. So Justin Burrow and Greg Doksakis from Plantation Rum.
I forgot I was here.
Maison Ferran.
Makers of Plantation Rum. And there's no sponsor this episode. So we didn't receive any money. This is just a fun episode. I love Docs. He's been here since episode one. This is his third visit and my first time meeting a veteran and a legend in this city, Justin Burrow. Legitimately a legend and a veteran in the city. How long? 20 something years? 23 years. Yep. My daughter's 14.
Like, he's only 28. That's
my son's 12. Yeah, he's only 20. Yeah.
Keep her away from him.
So
he's young.
Justin and Docs obviously are big names on the show. Anyone that works in the industry are very familiar with both of these guys.
Big name on the show. We decided later on that three shows makes one date.
Yep. So we're going to be doing stuff later.
The suspense.
The very first ever barrel selection, which is not on the table anymore, of Plantation Rum in the state of Texas was done by Justin. And we drink it. We talk about it. We talk about everything that working on. Fantastic episode. No sponsors, no sales pitch. Rate and review us on iTunes. Go visit our website. If you'd like to pick up these glasses, our glasses on the show, you can get them at mywhiskeyneat.com. Cheaper than the manufacturer. We have the cheapest place to get Luigi Bormioli Vinotech Italian glass. Fantastic, fantastic glasses. And without further ado, Justin Burrow and Greg Doksakis. Cheers.
I'd like a little more ado, just a little bit.
Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Hey, thanks.
Very nice to meet you. Docs is our third show.
Third show.
Docs is on the first show. Our show's called Whiskey Neat. First episode was Cognac and Rum. So
yeah.
With Pasha.
It was okay.
Yeah. We were still learning.
It's our inside joke with Pasha. It's okay.
We were learning quite a bit. So I'm glad you're here. I know there's quite a bit we want to talk about. I mean, Justin has been I've looked up an article recently that was in 2013 that mentioned you as a veteran in the industry here in Houston, and I don't know what
it's
you'd
been
be.
23 years.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a little bit more than
behind a bar. Yeah,
a little more than veteran. I heard you were at one point making fancy drinks out of cups at Old Fitzgerald's.
Yeah,
not Old Fitzgerald's. Fitzgerald's. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the bourbon stuck in my head.
Yeah, that went on for a couple of years.
It was a
lot of fun.
Seasoned all the way around.
Yeah, man. I don't know. There's a lot of bars to work behind, and
especially in Houston.
Yeah, I worked behind a lot of them, and now I've got one. It's longer than all the other ones. That's okay.
I've heard. I know that it's a haunt of a mutual friend of ours. Pasha has already mentioned. I've often wondered how does someone say that your bar without mixing up those words? It just seems like.
Oh, I don't know. Can you say it now?
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
With the full name?
Yeah. Do you even know what it is?
Captain Foxheart's Bad News Lounge and Spirits Bar.
God, fucking come on, Docs.
Yeah. So you, but you didn't.
One.
One strike?
No, you said the F word is what he's talking about.
Oh, is that?
We're literally less than two minutes in, and he's like,
We're going to put the Deadpool mask on.
Less than 2 minutes in.
We should do an episode where we have a little timer every time fuck is said, and then you can just.
Just get somebody to like ding a bell.
Like a little ding, ding.
Make Pasha do that.
But even then, you couldn't say it smoothly the first time. It's a long name. But it's iconic. I mean.
Well, what is it?
Captain Foxheart's Bad News Bar and Spirit Lodge.
That's what I said.
I didn't know Spirit Lodge. That's not what you said.
Lounge.
You said lounge.
Bad News Lounge and something. I lost track of.
I didn't know the lodge part.
Can we roll the tape back?
I think I said lodge.
Yeah, you did not.
All right.
Well.
Agree or disagree.
What did you bring today for us to taste? Because we're out of whiskey in our glass.
Well, one of the reasons why I brought Mr. Burrow here is because he actually had the first private selection barrel plantation in Texas.
You bought it today?
Yeah, here.
And honestly, in my opinion, still
the full name of the bar is on there. Yeah, you guys can
Captain Foxheart's Bad News Bar and Spirit Lodge.
Yeah,
I thought you said lounge.
They did
say lounge.
Yeah, so it's wrong.
I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
The French guys got it right when they printed the fucking label.
Yeah, but they pronounced it lounge.
Okay. Bagnuls. That's like reserve. Mm-hmm. Boy, I like that label.
In my opinion, it's still one of the best. It was something special. And he wouldn't share. I used to work at Republic. When I told him I was going to pull a bottle, he goes, "You do, and I'm going to kick out every Republic product in this bar." So, yeah.
I almost did anyway.
It's a multi-island blend, too.
Yeah.
St. Lucia, Guyana, and Jamaica.
Yeah, a lot of Jamaica in there. Yeah, it's listed last, but I think there is a fair bit in there.
I mean, when you think about what a funky little trio right there. The St. Lucia, Guyana, and Jamaica. I mean, you know.
I think we're just worked through our last bottle at the bar. There might be a pinch left in the last bottle.
We will not be able to retrieve
it. Agreed.
It's a big one.
We no longer have access the nose to on this St. Lucia anymore.
Yeah, it's the
what happened to St. Lucia?
The finish that gets me.
Who's it? Ben Jones. Ben Jones happened to it. They own it now, and it's just, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just they're no longer sourcing rum out. You know, they're making Bounty out of there. Not to mention Chairman's Reserve, and you know, you need your own juice. You need your own juice.
And it's strong stuff.
You
know? Wow.
Do you know Strong?
Strong? No.
Yeah, it's their.
You mean Stro?
No, yeah. Strong. It's St. Lucia Distillery's 80% rum. That's what goes into all the rum punch on
it's
the island.
It's literally called Strong?
Yeah, it's just called Strong. And
it's 80% ABV?
Yeah.
Wow. There's a Czechoslovakian or kind of like Belarusian rum called Stro. And that's, I think they've got one that goes like 90% or something. Oh,
God. The first guy that finished the 100 list at Anvil when we first opened did a shot of Stro 80.
Oof.
And then ran a lap around the block to sell it.
And then died.
He didn't. He didn't die. He got a ride home, but no deaths.
The nose on this is incredible.
No, I'm telling you. I used to work at Downing Street years ago, and one of the owner's wives insisted that we carry Stro for her. And whenever she came in, I'd be like, it's a Stro night. Everybody buckle up, you know?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you drop like 12 butterscotch into a can of gasoline.
Man, first thing you get on there is that St. Lucia, that definitive St. Lucia smell, which is delicious.
I thought when you said that you guys stopped carrying St. Lucia or had access to it, I thought it was like the Nicaragua situation where they were like in civil war or something. So,
no, I tell you, I wish we. I know that Florida Caña has righted or wrong in that situation, or at least taken the right steps, and that was one of the reasons why we no longer sourced rum when that all came to light. I hope we can get it resolved and come back to it because I always enjoyed some of our Nicaraguan plantations for sure.
Well, that was between – the way that whole thing was explained to me is that was between a sellout, right? So they were complaining about, I guess, conditions or whatever after a new company had taken over and was already in the process of fixing those things that it had basically been brought to light after the fact.
As is my understanding, after the fact, I think it was they just weren't tending to their own garden. I think they were caught unaware of just how bad the conditions were.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, look, the more countries producing rum, the better, in my opinion. So,
boy, I agree.
This is absolutely fantastic. I like it. I've always said that I think Plantation shines a little bit with a little bump in proof. And even at 44%, I think this is brilliant. I think it's good just as it is.
Yep. So, like I said, I'm one of the first. So that's the reason why I wanted to bring him in. I want to bring Justin in is just because, he got this whole thing started for us here, and we've done a lot since then.
You know? Boy, you sure have.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep up.
And we have some of the current selections available, and we have some of our future bottlings right here.
This is that funky one, right? That Trinidad, was this the one that was like in the Aaron cask or?
No, that one's in the white Pinot de Chiron. Yeah, okay. So it's going to be fruitier than most of our Trinidad rums.
There's a darker green label that I think was poured. It was an Aaron cask or something. It was peated. It had a lot of funk on it, and it was also like when I say funk, I mean like Scotch funk. Like it was like a really smoky.
Was it like a teal label?
It might have been teal.
That might have been Esquire's multi island. Yeah, but that was, if I remember correctly, it's four islands. It's Jamaica, Guyana, Trinidad, and Barbados.
I almost brought our barrel, but I didn't have any open, and you guys weren't worth it. So I
was going to say, man, don't waste it on us, man. that one came out really.
And you know, I was kind of surprised that no one really cared or brought up the fact that there was, you know, the controversy about sugar. It was one of those perfect.
Well, that one was dosage free.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was Jamaican. It was 150.5%. It was 101 proof. Ex whiskey barrels. Everything about that should have had people, you know, talking about it, but I know what shot it down or what kind of like covered it up was the Armagnac barrel that I've forgiven Alex, but Alex released our Armagnac barrel early, 3 days before, like right before our plantation barrel was supposed to drop. And all anyone could do is foam at the mouth for this stupid $200 bottle of Armagnac.
Oh, I mean, your Jamaican roast sold out like in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that's not bad. That's, you know, that's not bad. I bought a case for myself, and we gave away a case at the social, which I didn't tell you about, but we actually put it in the hands of people. But it was fantastic. I'm a big fan.
I had to have a bottle sent in from another market for me.
Of Mars?
Yeah.
How did ours get into a different market?
We've talked about this.
Sorry. That's right.
No,
Tees up the conversation about labels, right? So
yeah, exactly. We don't hide it. It's when we say single cask. We're taking one single cask. We're chopping it up like 23 cases here, 23 cases in Los Angeles, 23 cases in New York. No.
Sure. Well, we did that with our Compass Box. It wasn't our Compass Box barrel was actually 600 something bottles, and we took half of it for the Houston market, and the other half went elsewhere. We still picked it. It's still ours. But we also – there's no way we could have burned through 600 bottles of scotch yet. I think we're trying to get the group on board. It blows my mind that I'm having to force sell scotch in today's whiskey environment. Everyone's so obsessed with bourbon that you mention a beautiful, fantastic single malt, and they're like – or blended malt even. I mean, Compass Box is a blend, but we knew we couldn't move 600 bottles all at once.
Did you go to France and pick this out? Did they bring you samples?
No, I went to France a couple months later.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it before it had been bottled. Dipped my little finger in there. That one's mine.
It's a dry hump in the barrel.
So yeah, I mean, leave it in. It's fine. Barrel samples. Yeah. Not my favorite way to do it, but you know, right. That's okay.
Well,
sometimes you don't have a choice.
Well, because back then, you know, when you picked yours out, we weren't doing as many.
No.
Well, it's not even an option for some. I mean, if you want a signatory cask or, the big scotch barrels that Specs use, they order off a menu without ever tasting samples. Yeah. We almost got them. Like October 2 years ago, Specs had ordered 8 casks from Signatory.
Mm-hmm.
These Glenrothes, 20-year-old, 18-year-old cask strength. Beautiful ideas. And we tried to get some samples on that cargo load. Because mm-hmm. if we could just send us like 6 barrel samples and the supplier wouldn't do it.
Huh.
So I get the idea of trying to fit samples on a shipment otherwise, you know, whatever, but or mailing them separately. But if it's piggybacking on another shipment, I figured it would be
How many samples?
Yeah.
Whatever they'd send us, you know. They
couldn't FedEx you a bottle?
Well,
scotch, DHL,
scotch
are so cheap.
Well, legally you can't, right? So even Four Roses, legally you can't.
Legally.
So even Four Roses now, Four Roses will only send samples to stores now. And actually they stopped doing samples altogether. But we picked out
good for them.
We picked out a barrel at Four Roses and they bottled a sample of it for us to kind of tease people with. And they sent it to the store direct. But trying to get some brands to send us samples now, it's difficult, you know? Hmm. TABC makes it hard, apparently.
I don't know, man. For me, 90% of the fun of picking out a barrel is picking out a barrel. You know?
Going into the rick
houses. Going into the aging warehouses or the rick houses and, having a mallet and knocking some fucking bungs out and drinking some rum or bourbon or brandy or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's easier in the bourbon world because so much of the bourbon is just into one barrel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of set it and forget it and get to check different barrels.
Sure.
You know? It's hard to do with cognac because cognac is so much blending going on. You know, you're using barrels, I call it spice racks. You know, to make that one particular, whatever soup it is that you want that flavor profile. So, kind of the one barrel experience doesn't really apply.
Well, so the thing that when I picked out the barrel of Germain Urban that Bad News has, they had blended it. And then
did a barrel program.
Delicious. I mean, fucking not anymore. All the brandy's gone, but
it was delicious.
They sold off to
Gallo.
Gallo, yeah.
But so it's a huge buy. It's mm-hmm. because it's a full barrel.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not like a 13-year-old barrel of bourbon.
How many bottles did
that, man, I have no idea.
300 something, I bet.
Dude, a lot.
Yeah. Still got some left?
Yeah. I mean, I think Favorite's still sitting on some.
Oh, dude.
God, I hope John Curran doesn't listen to this because he's John super does listen to this.
And
sorry,
why
John.
Why is he pissed about what? That you're still sitting
oh,
on
that
it?
It's still there. It's been years now.
Listen, I can help you.
Okay.
Yeah. So John and I have a great relationship, and I've been meeting. I wrote down a couple episodes back. Someone brought him up, and I've been meaning to reach out to him about what he is still sitting on that he'd love to get rid of.
Oh yeah,
because
that's I'm sure pretty much the top of his list.
And if he's got a private barrel of that brandy out of California before the sale,
yeah,
there's no John. If you're listening to this, there's no reason we can't move a shit ton of it immediately.
That's fine. Sell it.
I'm gonna reach out to him. I've been meaning to reach out to John to see what he's got sitting around because I know that that's a big – that's what the Houston Morgan Weber and Chris Shepard were talking about.
I think Alex has some down at NASA right now. It should be sitting on the shelf. Yeah.
How much a bottle do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. 50-ish?
Oh, that's, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's dirt cheap for brandy.
Okay. I think we're about to get some Christmas gifts for the group.
Good brandy too.
Yeah. Well, it's the only other craft brandy. Not the only other craft. The second craft brandy I ever heard about after Copper and Kings.
Mm. Copper and Kings. They were around way before.
Yeah. But nobody was really talking about brandy.
I mean,
I was sitting at the wrong bars.
I was sitting at the wrong bars five years ago, and I was in love with it.
Yeah. The bars. But the average consumer was not, you know, it's like grappa, brandy, you know, Armagnac. No one's really talking about it if you're the average consumer.
So Posh and I are constantly going back and forth with anytime somebody's talking about the other in like, you know, like a positive light, we'll respond, he's okay.
Yeah. I reached out to him and said that you were coming on, and I didn't know that you guys were so close.
Yeah.
He's known you for a long time, and we were texting each other about you, and he said, I got a story I'm going to tell you. I'll email it to you later when I get a minute. It's too long to text. And you know what story it is?
No idea.
So he said, I won't read it word for word on air.
Are we rolling on this?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Well, you know what? I may read it on air. Why not?
Do I vomit in the story?
No.
Excellent.
So
carry on.
It was very sweet, very endearing. So I hope you can take flattery.
No, goddamn, that's the worst.
Brief story about Justin.
One more. Jot that down.
A brief story about Justin and his perhaps unintentional influence on me and the bar. While I had wanted to go into the bar industry for years because I love the culture of good drinking, it was until the opening of Anvil and meeting Justin through mutual friends that I saw how far down the rabbit hole it could go. About 8 years ago, he was at my house, and while I thought I knew a decent about classic drinks and spirits, I didn't realize how little I didn't actually know. He asked me to make a Campari sour, and I just kind of froze. It had never occurred to me to make a sour with just Campari. And while I'll never forget the look on his face, it wasn't mean or anything. It just kind of felt like disappointment. And I felt so ashamed that I resolved to learn as much as I could and spend the next several years studying and experimenting as much of it as I could. I respect him tremendously and still see him as an uncompromising and unofficial mentor, tracking all the way back to that single moment.
That's sweet.
Try not to cry.
I'm not crying.
Posh is probably crying because he's like, I told you not to fucking read that shit on here.
Stop crying, Pasha.
2 minutes in each segment. Sorry, I love you, Jack.
I can absolutely back that up 100% that he does not compromise ever. So no compromising here.
No. I mean, unless I have to.
So what's next?
All right, good. Well, let's try something that's...
You want to drink more rum or you want me to pull something out of this bag?
Well, what's in the bag, first of all?
We'll find out when Doc says that he's done drinking.
You got that reference.
Well, let's look at this one here.
it's not a head.
I brought a range here, you know, the dosage level. We have 0, 6, and 12. And this is the 6 right here, the mid card, if you will.
Sorry, what's a range here?
The range of dosage.
Oh, a range here.
Range.
I thought you said a range here. I was like, is this a new term? Here. I've never heard of this.
It's
a range here of rum.
So this is the Panama 12-year. This is an exclusive for our friends in Austin at the Austin Shaker. Have you been there before?
Boy, I love those guys.
Those guys are great, man.
We were just in Martinique in St. Lucia together.
Oh, really? Yeah. How was that? Fun?
Fucking killer.
I bet.
he realizes that after he says it, he looks over like, oh, crap.
Well, that's just going to be what it is, y'all.
You know, I mentioned what before you tell us about this. We had started a lead into the label issue and how that works over at Plantation. We had an issue, for those who don't know, where our barrel got released and we split it up to our stores. And a store up north accidentally got the same barrel with a different label
on the West Coast.
It's still the same barrel, right?
Yeah, it was the same pick. Yeah,
just different label on it. So correct. Because of the confusion, whether that happens sometimes, which we've talked about openly, sometimes it happens at the distributor level. Sometimes we had an issue locally in which Russell's Reserve had been boxed wrong at the My Four Roses barrel for the Whiskey Social. Half the barrel that showed up at our store was someone else's barrel. So we had to like, and then it turned out it was just stickered wrong. And so it all worked out, but for a brief second, we were all like, holy crap, we're freaking out.
That's always such a mess.
So what you guys have decided to find a way to fix that, and I'll let you take it from there.
Well, we're throwing the label. We'll put whoever is the selection is, but we can't put it on the direct label anymore. Simply because of, number one, the issue that you mentioned, which did happen one time, but we've had issues with even though we get a buyer to do the proof on the label, you know, when it gets there, they say, you spelled it wrong. Well, you approved this label. We've had times where it's been slowed down. I know it takes it slows down TABC on doing their COLA, their certificate of label approval. And so sometimes, I mean, remember, we didn't get your rum until was it January 5th, 10th, something like that?
Way later than we thought it was.
And I said at the earliest October, at the latest December 1st.
So yeah. Store names and company names don't have to be approved by COLA approval. So if you were to do a one single COLA approval for the barrel itself, or if you covered a range, like what Copper and Kings does is they just put just a separate black sticker over parts of the label of the name of the group or whatever. So
yeah,
sure. You don't have to get COLA approval for that.
We don't want to do a separate black. It's hard to match the label that way.
Sure.
So what I think we're going to do this time is I did this for Esquire Tavern last year because they wanted their actual logo on there. We're going to do a secondary label. It's just kind of off to the side, and we're going to blend it. It's going to look a little bit more natural than just putting that secondary label up there on the front.
A Band-Aid, basically.
We did do it for a Trinidad. Oh, man, a Trinidad that was out there on the West Coast. Michael Goldman sent me a bottle. And it's a blend of three different Trinidads, different vintages, that is. And it looks great, except for the sticker just right across the front. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't look good. So,
well, whatever works.
Yeah. The first try at it, you guys nailed it. I thought that was a beautiful label. I was so stoked when I got it.
No, well, this is kind of a...
And I know it's expensive, and, you know...
This seems more expensive, though, right?
It was an expense thing. It wasn't. It was... And this is of a sore point. Rocky... I thought Rocky was going to quit over this.
Cool.
When we were talking about this in France, when we decided that Guillaume made the announcement that this is the route we're taking, and there were two camps. Those that were like, good, don't want to mess with this. And those over here, they're like, oh, but it looks so good, you know. But no, I'm confident that we're going to make it work anyway, at least in Texas, you know, whatever I have my hands on. It's going to work out.
Sure.
Man, it could be a piece of white paper and everything could be written in Comic Sans. I'd still buy it because it's delicious.
Yeah, well, honestly, in a lot of times, if you guys...
Sanskrit or get your GTFO. You're welcome, Jack.
If you get something that kind of complements it, but it's strikingly different, in contrast, you know,
sure.
If the secondary label can contrast to the primary label, it can work. It can look good.
Sure.
You know, so this one, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, so we're not doing away with it. We're just going to try to resolve the issue of mix-ups.
I'm going
to
do it locally.
Fair enough.
Do it locally. Yeah.
Now, what are we, is this one or that one over there?
This is this one right here. And it's a 12-year Panama. It has been triple finished in the Petey Aaron cask.
Can I see that bottle?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually going to be seen. It's 9.5 years in the bourbon cask in Panama, 1 year in Franc cask, and 1.5 years in the whiskey cask. And this one is 6 grams per liter dosage.
What is, I've never seen this before, Alcohols del...
That's a distiller.
Istmo. 1.5 years in Aaron.
Alcoholes del Istmo. I say it right?
Yeah, that's very good.
Alcoholes del Istmo.
Better than I can.
That's a distiller. And, you have, I mean, what's the three major distilleries out there? You have them, you have Oh God, I'm blanking on his name right now. Don Puncho. There's Don Puncho, of course, and
well, I was waiting to see if you were gonna pull Ron, that one out.
And Ron Abuelo. Yeah. Ron Abuelo. So yeah. So on the nose. Mm. You know, the Panama Rum, I always kind of find Panama Rum's always kind of dessertish to me, you know, and it's that.
I'm getting kind of
a little bit of a root beer candy.
A little bit, but more kind of perfumey, more kind of fragrant, perfumey.
Yeah.
Root beer candy.
Tip of the tongue is that root beer candy tingle and my broken Campari and cigarette mouth.
But you totally can see that the influence from the Scotch cask.
Oh, absolutely. You know? It's very apparent. And it's very apparent on the palate.
And that's not the first one we've done that with. We did it with, I believe it's the Multi Island last year.
And this was brand new this year's?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They got it in January, and they still got plenty of it. I say that. I've been by their store in a month, so hopefully.
And it's a star, a store or a bar?
Store. It's on airport?
Austin Shager.
Or airline.
Airport. Oh, yeah. Austin Shager. This is their... Yeah. Oh, yeah, duh. Sorry, we started with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they're on airport.
North Airport.
I always thought they were a bar.
But they No, liquor store, man. Great
liquor store. Well, I'll put it this way. They're a liquor store that understands bars. They understand the bar mentality for sure. Yep. I would say probably better than any independent.
Well, they're both
there.
Bartenders.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely my favorite liquor store in Austin. One of the best in
the You ever thought
States.
About doing that?
I've stayed up late at night in my bed, awake.
Thinking about a store?
Yeah. Trying to
feel like the
reconcile the simple syrup still stuck to my hands after three showers and wondering how the fuck I was going to continue. Pardon me.
So I will tell you that Rasul's
are... Is that only five?
No, it's a lot more than that. Rasul Zarenfar from Buffalo Bayou Brewing. Mm-hmm. He listened to it. He cussed. I told him, just don't do it every segment. Like, if you're going to do it, keep it to one area so we can kind of censor it.
I can't. Sorry.
And every segment, he did it every segment. And then but he still was restrained. And then after hearing the T.J. Miller episode, he came and saw me at Tastemakers a little warm himself. And he was like, I've got a bone to pick with you.
He wants to do another show so we can open up the floodgates.
So he can open up the floodgates and just rain down. Yep, that's it. Rain down the F-bombs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we did it around. Let's see something out of your magic bag there again.
Well, I mean,
I would imagine you brought. Let me before you put up.
You want to guess?
Yeah, something not specifically, but I'm going to do like the mentalist where I predict something, but it's not quite accurate enough, but enough to make you wonder if I'm psychic.
Man, I wish I had a deck of cards.
It's not whiskey. It's something like an alternate spirit, maybe rum, maybe not rum. I'm going to say something old, like, you know, like an old chartreuse or something, but not.
I'm getting a K name.
Yeah.
Somebody like Kathy,
you've got an uncle or a dad or a brother.
You're nailing it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a bag of spirits.
I'm saying it's a bag of non-whiskey is what I'm guessing.
Oh, not entirely.
Okay. All right. So what you plan to pull out right now,
uh-huh.
You had it in mind before I started sticking my foot in my mouth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the tall one that's easy to get, so I don't have to bend over.
Go ahead and pull it out
on camera as much as I can help it.
We'll see how psychic I am. It's not whiskey.
It's not whiskey. I mean, unless it's like really.
I thank you. I take my applause.
You got it. Yeah.
So it's a mezcal tequila?
No, it's a
tequila. Tesoro. Oh, yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. So I want to spend a lot more time with tequila.
You should. It's a nice way to live your life.
Is there an interesting story as to why this is not in a standard shelf bottle?
Oh, this is the bottle from the tasting at La Altania that we did with Carlos. There were nine samples laid out for a couple of different accounts. Sean Beck was there picking some stuff for
Sean Beck. Boy, can that guy talk?
Yeah.
Sean Beck.
Really?
Like, we filmed a pilot thing that we're trying to shoot for Netflix, and I was like, I want someone that's not, that I don't have to drive the conversation.
Can I do my impression for you?
Yeah, but let me get through this. So I grabbed Sean Beck because I've been wanting to get him in here a while, but I was having trouble getting him on the show. He's a very busy man. But when I finally got him for the Netflix pilot pitch thing that we filmed with Pasha, he was... like, so great to talk to. Like, I didn't have to say anything. All I had to do was say something about whiskey, and then Sean Beck just kind of talked for 20 minutes. It was great.
Like, man, he knows a lot.
I love people who I don't have to talk. I can just listen.
I told him he's mellowing in his older age, so he's nicer to reps than he used to be. And I think I
believe that.
I think every wine rep in the city of Houston owes his daughter a big thank you, because I think that little, I think that little young lady has softened him for sure. I told him this the other day. So here's my impression of Sean Beck when he's tasting a new spirit for the first time. Ready? Okay. I'm gonna try it. Here we go.
So for those just listening, go to Facebook and watch the video.
What else you got?
I feel like that's probably pretty spot on. I've never tried to sell him spirits.
That's got to be difficult to be to do that sales pitch for him to be so cold and unresponsive.
No. He's great. He really is. I tease him because I love him. He knows his stuff for sure.
Well, having kids will definitely soften you. I think he's
toughen me for sure.
He's definitely become a lot more patient with the group. You know, because a lot of people want to blow their brains out with some people in the group, and then. Lately, Sean Beck's been very engaging. He's just an awesome guy. We spent some time over at Canino's, mm-hmm. and kind of sourcing product for a meal. And I'd want to hang out with him beyond a professional environment. You know, especially me having some mm-hmm. 3-year-old daughter.
This is phenomenal. It has that when you first hit the tongue, it has that subtle soft cocoa notes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get that? It's just mm-hmm. it's lovely.
Yeah. Not as much black pepper as a typical Blanco from La Alteña, but it's still there.
I don't want to say there's a peppery finish, but there's a peppery after feel. Your tongue gets a little numb on there. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I pick up on a little citrus. You just me?
Yeah. No. That's very typical of the tequilas from that distillery.
Tell us about it.
What was it? Easy drinker.
Oh, so it's an El Tesoro Reposado that was aged 9 months to the day. It was a few days shy of that when I was down there doing this pick, and I asked Carlos if he could wait a few days until it got to 9 on the nose, so that it would be easier for me to remember and talk about.
Sure.
I don't know.
So you guys, you bought the whole barrel?
Yep.
And is that here yet?
Oh yeah.
Where is it? What retailers do you use?
Damn near gone.
Oh really?
Yeah, we got. Not all the way. I mean, it was a big barrel because, you know, it only rested for nine months.
Yeah.
So there was plenty of it.
And Frank's been talking about coming in here to do tequila. So we. It's one thing.
Have you met Frank yet?
We've had Frank on for Makers. Ah. Frank
Krockenberg or Fernandez?
Fernandez, we talked about doing a tequila episode. And El Tesoro was the only tequila at the social last year, and it was a massive hit. I am a fan.
Does Frank? Yeah. Does he know tequila?
Frank, I was about to say. Frank is yes, tequila. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I've seen. There's been a few online arguments that I've like tagged Frank in, and he'll swoop in, and he's so smart with this. He'll swoop in long enough to drop the information, and then he makes sure that he formulated everything he could say about it, and then leaves the group so that he doesn't get sucked in the argument.
He's dropping the mic, man.
He comes in, he drops the information, and he's like, "All right, I'm out. See you later." All tequilas are mezcals, but not all mezcals are tequilas, or just whatever. Like he'll just, you know, drop it in, then boom.
That's awesome. This is delicious, man.
Yeah, this stuff is fantastic.
Where can you pick it up? Is there any retail?
Bad News Bar.
Got nothing to share, man.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You come over to the house.
Got to partner him with a retailer for
you
some
get
of
that
these.
One, Jack?
He thinks he's got to unload. Do you have a list of stuff that's still sitting in favorite? Or any
that
retailer?
Was it. No, just man. There's one thing, but I'm going to get the rest of it.
Sure.
And that's not a favorite. Yeah.
You have to tell me. Don't tell me because someone will chat
out. Oh, we're going to taste it in a minute.
Oh.
They're not going to get a pinch out of it, though. Crack skulls. They don't want to deal with me over there.
Nowhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
In general, public places.
All right. That's delicious, man.
All right. Yeah, it's yummy. So funny story about this. When I do the barrel picks from the places and empty the barrel and try to get them to send it to me, so far the only two people that haven't wanted to do that are these folks, because shipping on that would be terrible.
No, I'm sorry.
Which one of the barrels would I have gotten?
The distributor hates when we do it also.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody wants to mess with it.
Get it.
Sorry. Just to be clear, what are we talking about?
To get the physical barrel.
Oh, the hard barrel.
That I've emptied from, you know.
Sure.
And then Germain Urban did not want to send me the barrel either because they are expensive.
And they're going to use it again.
And they're huge. And they're going to use it again.
Well, I mean, they're not anymore, but should have sent it to me. but yeah, so when I – Altasaur is owned by Beam Centauri, yeah. And when they sent me the barrel that Beam paid to have shipped over and all this stuff, and Glazier's finally delivered it, and – I teeter-tottered it up the stairs to the Bad News Bar. I got it in, and I realized that it was a...
Your barrel.
It was a Jack Daniel's barrel. Which
well, yeah. That's the age of tequila.
Not all of them. I mean, a lot of them.
A lot of them.
But it was funny to me.
Why would they use Jack Daniel's barrels?
Well, because it's whatever barrel they can get a hold of down there, man.
Like, right. Well, I guess in my mind...
And after the whole Brown Foreman situation...
They get what they can get.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jack Daniel's barrels are abundant down there. Yeah.
So was it your barrel that was aged in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a mix-up.
I remember I remember the barrel being.
But you realized it was a Jack Daniel's barrel they used to age.
Yeah, that Beam paid money to get shipped to be like, oh, look at that thing. It was funny to me.
Yeah. No, it is funny. I thought you were saying initially that it was
a mix-up. Sorry, Haley. She was pissed.
Why was she mad? Oh, that Beam.
Yeah, the Beam paid for the. For
why
the
would that make her mad if that's what they were?
Because it's
branding wise,
decidedly not on brand.
Okay, so I will agree with you that because a lot of brands will basically paint over the head and restamp them with the new logos.
Yeah,
right. So I guess it would have made sense if Altasaur painted over the Jack Daniels and put the new.
So Beam. This one's on Beam. There,
it is on Beam. That's the point.
Yeah, but I mean, thanks for the barrel, guys. It looks good in the bar.
But get your shit together, Haley.
No, it wasn't her fault at all. You'd be sweet to my.
That's not what you said before the show started. We'll talk about it later.
You said we're gonna have to cut this whole.
I don't know if anyone noticed, but he said the show sharded. What's next?
Ooh, who said that?
Barbados 2007.
Okay,
cool. I gotta drink this tequila. There's a lot of.
I'm trying not to.
Are there more glasses?
No.
Oh well.
I mean, there are some.
Pour back in the bottle.
There's some more glasses. I grab you a glass. No, we'll wait till the next.
Leaves the bottle, it gets drank, Docs. That's how that works.
You might have. Actually, Jack, if you can, in the boxes down there, see if there's any clean ones. Not to interrupt the show.
I promise not to cuss while you're away from the notepad, Jack.
Which was normally not a bad thing.
What's that? You can't.
I can't get the agave out of that glass now, which is normally not a bad thing.
You're not going to.
It's not a bad thing. Who cares?
We could rinse it with some of that 89 Taylor.
89 Taylor?
Yeah.
Are those clean?
That'll clean it up.
Come on, Jack. If those are dirty, I'm so embarrassed.
Decidedly not clean.
Decidedly not clean.
Lipstick, some remnants. There's leftovers in that one.
Yeah.
Who was your last guest?
Well, the lipstick, we had Morgan Weber and...
No, that was Morgan. I mean, it was either Morgan's or Chris's. I bet on Chris.
Yeah.
I bet on it being Chris's lipstick.
Too much.
All right.
We're working down it.
I'm a professional
drinker. Is that my tequila?
No. That was water. Are you finished?
Oh, yeah.
Good. You drank the tequila. Good.
He almost punched me. Ooh, all right. So
Barbados.
Barbados 2007. Now, you've had this.
Tequila finish in here. No,
it's not tequila finish.
No, it is
be
now.
A shame if it was.
Well, I don't want to tell you all this.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you. I'm trying to secure a bottle of our.
The Cuban overproof?
I had that one. The
freaking
best. The one with the Ocho finish. The Ocho tequila barrel finish. It wasn't available in the United States, so I'm trying to. I might buy one and have it sent to Bombonnais and pick it up there in April because we can't get it here.
Yeah. What's Bombonnais?
That's our chateau in France.
Oh, I guess I'll.
You know if you've been.
Yeah.
He keeps saying that. My wife and I had a discussion that.
They've got a whole fridge that's just full of Pinot de Chiron. Sorry to interrupt your story.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Docs keeps telling me that he's going to take me, and then he says, "Nah, we'll talk later." And then
this one's just a sales meeting.
Dating.
Well, we're not. That is not the impression I got.
I mean,
especially after Poutine that one night.
Oh well,
I feel like three shows means you're dating Docs.
This is serious.
It smells
great
tonight.
This smells really great.
Okay, so
Mount Gilboa.
Yeah. This is not even from our West Indies facility. It's from Mount Gilboa. So
Mount Gay Distillery.
This is the result of me complaining too much. It finally paid off. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So last year when I didn't get in Guyana, Texas, Guillaume shut me up. Said you can have this. So the only place you can get it in outside of France or say Europe is going to be two places. One is Quebec, and the other one is Texas. We got it all in Texas.
Who has it right now?
For sale?
Yes.
Ryan's Liquor, NASA. Ryan's Liquor up on the north side does.
Does Flax Cypress. Have it?
I don't know.
I ask because it's 10 years in bourbon, 6 months in Ferrand. It's 58.5%.
Yeah.
I haven't even tasted it yet, and I'm already, like, sweating.
It's one of our strongest.
And some of the best rum I ever had was Mount Gilboa.
And it's the most expensive one we have. It's going for about $100 a bottle.
Bull. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a one-shot deal, man.
Mount Gilboa, do you know the story behind it? I'm sure you do.
It's been years.
Yeah, Mount Gay. There was a brief run where Mount Gilboa was in production. Velier bought a bunch of their barrels when they shut down. And some of the best rum I ever had was the Blue Label the Velier bottlings from Berruco Gargano. They're not here in Texas yet, and they just hit the U.S. in New York. You know Kate Perry?
Mm-hmm, very well.
Yeah. So she's slinging their products right now, and the Blue Label Mount Gilboa is some of the best rum it blew me out of the water. Yeah, I haven't even tasted this yet.
I got a text from her the other day. She's going to be around soon. So
every 4 months, I'm sorry to interrupt. Every 4 months, I bother her and say, hey, when do you come to Texas? She's like, we got to hit New York first. They hit New York. We got to hit Florida. We got to hit California.
I don't know about the rum. She as a person will be here. So I imagine that the launch is not far behind.
Not too far behind.
Yeah.
So 10 years in bourbon cask, 6 months in Ferrand cask, like all plantations, it's going to spend some time in Ferrand cask. But the triple finish on this is Bordereau cognac cask. Zero dosage. This is a heady little elixir here. It's got some punch to it. It's got a ton of body to it.
This is delicious, yeah.
Drinks under proof a little bit. Oh, till the finish.
There you go.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all on the finish.
Yeah.
And you get that almost teensy tiny little bit of fruit punch right in the middle of the tongue. You know what I mean?
Oof, my butt crack is sweating. So this will definitely warm you up.
Well, I feel like if this is doing that, you probably are doing good not being on a chicken wing show.
Oh,
or something.
Did you hear? Have you heard me talk about that?
No.
You know about Hot Ones?
Yeah, I watched the first episode of it last.
It's amazing.
Last night. Not the first episode. I watched it for the first time yesterday.
Which is episode?
This a show
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Which one? Scarlett Johansson. Uh-huh.
Is this a show where celebrities just eat hot chicken wings?
Yes.
We'll watch anything now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. Hold on a second. You shut your goddamn mouth. It's an interview show.
I mean, watching Scarlett Johansson eat hot chicken wings is pretty cool, Docs.
I learned a new fetish.
It's pretty cool. It was pretty
There's a process where each wing gets hotter. There's 10 wings, and they get hotter and hotter on the Scoville unit. You know, and then the last one's like a 1.2 million.
Yeah. So she's like losing her fucking mind. God damn it. Again,
trying not to let spoilers out about
Avengers. So then he asks her about the Avengers Endgame, and she's just losing her mind with the heat of this chicken wing.
So if you watch that part, he asks her a question about he basically hits her with 5 questions about what theoretically could happen in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
You know, does Ant-Man shrink down into an ant and crawl up Thanos' butt and then, you know, whatever. You know, like he hits her with – but a couple of the scenarios are plausible. And one of the scenarios was, do they shrink him down and bring him into the – what is Ant-Man's little multiverse or the little microverse?
The whatever thing.
The little thing is, yeah. Mm-hmm. The subatomic verse, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there and she's shaking her head, yes. She's just like, she's trying not
to react.
Well,
the first question was, does Captain America die? And it was a
yes,
big,
that's what it was. She was like swinging her head back. Yeah. She said, does Captain America die? And she swings her head, yes. But she's really just reacting because of the hot wings. But you don't know if she's really saying yes or what. But it's a show I think you would enjoy.
I literally saw this 12 hours ago, too. It's not something that I've like.
Oh, what's next? We're going to have celebrities lighting their farts? I mean, come on.
No, but it's the only way to physically harm a celebrity, right? You get, dude, he got.
You catch him on a press junket and feed him hot sauce.
Okay.
He got, what's the guy's name that, Jeff Goldblum.
I know. That I like to see. I like to see
Jeff
Goldblum.
See, uh-huh. When it's somebody,
I see Jeff Goldblum eat a box of cereal. I mean, he's just funny,
I would watch Jeff Goldblum do anything.
Exactly.
I watch him drink tea. He was so composed the entire time that he didn't react to the hottest of hot sauces. No sweat, no reaction. Then he gets a few comedians in there and a few major celebrities. The one episode he did with, what's that guy that's really mean, like Simon Cowell, but for food?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. Gordon Ramsay, that episode, 30 million views.
Jeepers.
30 million views.
People wanted to see
and by the way, the British, he may be known for his food taste. Mm-hmm. The British do not like hot food. And Gordon Ramsay has a very bad reaction to hot wings. And just watching them kind of freak out, cussing. And
I bet that's funny. Yeah.
It's, dude, it's awesome.
I was apprehensive about bringing this. This is the last one of the first barrel of Knob Creek that I bought for the Badgies Bar.
Well, you don't have to open that for us.
No, no, no. I want to.
They were engraving them back then, huh?
Yeah. So they have a program where if you go and you do the barrel pick and you schedule it correctly, you can dump the barrel over and like roll it onto a flatbed and go over to the bottling facility and proof it down and bottle it yourself. Or like with the guys, not like by yourself.
Sure.
But
still, that's pretty cool.
But yeah, yeah.
Right.
So this is the first one.
And so then whatever doesn't fit into a six pack, what do you do with that? You can't ship not a six pack. So you just take it. And they have, you know, at the gift shop, anybody can do this for anything that you buy at the
So this is the first ever bottle and the first ever barrel of Knob Creek that you picked.
Yeah, you see my little thumbprint up there?
Boy, Beam's getting a lot of shout outs on this episode. You see?
I know.
Oh, I do see it. Yeah.
I dipped it myself.
You did it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a metal clamp that does this whole thing?
Yeah.
You don't have to open it for us.
No, let's do it.
I wouldn't do it.
Because our first.
Save it. That's a piece of history right there. That's part of your bar's history.
Yeah, you idiot.
Stupid.
Wait till you taste how good it is, dummy.
Okay. He's like, JK, I peed in the bottle.
Let's get out of here.
Is it bourbon? I don't like
our
bourbon.
Our first barrel was.
I only drink scotch, cognac, rum, and French
Texas bourbon. Did you know only two places in the world you can make bourbon is Kentucky and Texas? Did you know that?
Ooh, I broke my
I can't believe you opened it, man. That's awesome. What an honor, man.
It's so good.
He does a new podcast. Come and does mine.
I mean, a bunch of people already drank this at the Bad News Bar. It was great. They loved it.
The first barrel.
I'm going to hand you the bottle and you can figure it out for yourself.
Okay, that's a good idea.
The first barrel of HBS.
Professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do that.
The first Houston Bourbon Society barrel and the first my whiskey festival barrel was Knob Creek.
Oh yeah,
and we do two a year.
Well, they're so excited to give them out,
dude. And it's on hold until 2020.
So on the very first nose, you get like a little mustard seed type thing going there.
Oh yeah,
what's going on in your nose?
You don't.
No, your nose probably works. Mine doesn't work so good.
My nose got broke a couple times.
You have to understand, when I say something like that, I mean, I'm not saying the bourbon tastes like mustard. I'm talking about very faint stuff.
Yeah, no.
What's mustard?
Mustard.
That's what you call somebody when you're not trying to call them the other one starts with a B so that Jack doesn't have to write anything down.
You can say bastard on the radio? Yes, you can. I'm almost positive you can say.
He's got his notepad out.
You can say that this person, I think it's like the butthole thing.
Bastard.
No, but you can say like this – if you say this person is an actual definition bastard.
Bastard child.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not bad. But you're saying you can't say bastard on the internet or on the –
Can you say fucking bastard?
No.
Okay. That's a 301.
Can you say Ned Stark's bastard?
Are you excited?
So, are you kidding me?
Dude, I'm expecting –
Did you see my meme today?
I wanted to share.
Talking about the meme that you shared on, like
the Game of Thrones one.
Why did I come to this thing?
Let's
talk about memes. there's
funny.
The meme is about all the jerks who love to tell you they've never seen Game of Thrones.
Yes, they are. They're like, well, that's the thing about.
And your post is not public, so I can't share it. I wanted to share it.
I'll share it. I can make it public.
Make it public because in my feed has been people who said I'm part of the 1% who've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. I guarantee you, I'm willing to bet that this season's – are you part of a Deadpool for it, by the way?
What?
There's a Deadpool going around
no.
where you could guess the list of remaining characters, if they die, yes or no.
I think they're all going to die.
And which episode they're going to die. You just said the F word of it.
I did. Oh, my God. My first one.
Yeah! I did it!
Blame it on the alcohol.
It's just, the ambiance in the room, Docs.
Ooh, that is
bad influence.
I did.
That's just like Knob Creek.
No, see, it doesn't. That's off profile. And that's the thing. It's super not their thing. It doesn't taste like the Beam mash bill at all. It doesn't taste like Knob Creek. And that's
and
why
I love
picked
Knob
it.
Creek.
Yeah, me too. This is not that.
I had a talk with Haley a little while back. We have done two barrels. I say that I've coordinated at least two barrels. One year we did three, one through another store. Of Knob Creek every year for the past 3 years. So I would think that they know that I love them. But this last barrel, we asked for samples that were off profile. Mm-hmm. And she explained to me that there's the process where she has to go and make the request up the chain for samples.
It's a nightmare.
But explaining to them that they want something that doesn't taste like their product is offensive.
Well, you can't say that.
Yeah, yeah.
You just show up and they've picked three barrels for you to pick from. When I got this one, I was actually picking a barrel for Bad News and a barrel for Grand Prize, and no relation. But so I had six barrels to choose from, and that's how I think I got this guy.
Sure.
Because they had to pick six, and you know, if you're picking three, like, you can stay kind of in a closer profile range.
I thought the request was reasonable because I don't want something that's necessarily 15 or 16 years old. I just want something that's different just for the sake of fun, right?
Sure.
I collect bottles. I want something unique and fun. And I love the Knob Creek profile. But by asking of something that's for off profile, she's like, well, it kind of comes off. And I was like, I didn't mean it that way. But it's just more of like, you know, wanting to – like this. You bring samples for market and it's – you know, 10 different countries, 10 different – one of them tasted like Almond Joy, that one that we talked about when I came by your house that one day.
Almond Joy.
Oh, that's the one. It tastes
like an Almond Joy.
So we did a beer recently that tastes like Almond Joy in a can.
Mounds is the red label.
Nice Guy Eddie.
Nice Guy Eddie, yeah. Yeah, so it's barrel-aged. We took our whiskey barrels and had Southern Star fill it with Buried Hatchet, aged it for a year, and added coconut and vanilla. It tastes like liquid Almond Joy beer.
Yeah,
and that right there – I got the idea of liquid almond because I tried that, and that tastes like liquid almond joy. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Don't try it.
I haven't had this whiskey in a few years.
It's phenomenal.
Boy, it's damn delicious.
You did good work, Justin.
Well, I mean, all I had to do was pick a barrel of
whiskey. All the credit.
It's not like it was hard work. It was early in the morning after being out late at night in Louisville.
Oof. How long do you go when you go?
Like 3 days.
Yeah, and those 3 days are packed, and you're miserable when you get home.
No, I try to stop by Maker's because it's pretty there and I like it. They keep trying to get me to buy one of those barrels, but I haven't done it yet.
We enjoyed the experience.
How they have so many barrels? Weren't they running out of whiskey a couple years ago?
No, they have a whole new.
They weren't the one purporting that BS.
Wait, what? I didn't hear that.
There was a report saying that there was a bourbon shortage. It was BS from the get-go.
No.
They weren't running out of barrels. But also, their stuff's like 6 years old, so it's not like they have to wait long for it to catch up.
To me, that's anywhere from 6 to 10 years old is my range for bourbon. That's why
mine's
I like
8 to 12. And honestly, like, we had a 12-year-old Elijah Craig that I just loved, but it was proofed down to 94. If it was cask strength, I'd say 6 to 10.
I would say my one exception was Weller 12, obviously.
Yeah,
I think it's good. I would do the Maker's pick if you it's we did.
It seems fun. It seems like a fun thing to do. It's a big buy. You know, it's like a $14,000 spend for a bar. You know, that's a lot of money.
You're not big on social media, but I'll tell you, the whole Morgan and them, their coalition.
Yeah,
they offloaded their barrels to the group.
Yeah,
right. So if you've got some stuff and it's a great, if you know, don't go crazy.
I'm so stingy though.
I'll say something off air about.
Oh, no, I just say it now.
No, definitely not. Can you cut this part out or do like a little bleep or something? Is it easy?
Can we hold up a...
I'll wait. I'll say it off air. But there are some people who... Well, I'll wait.
I'll film it and post it.
Yeah.
Do they like to call people potatoes?
The point is that if you put... No, if you put care and love behind your picks and you've got some excess, we're not talking about dumping 80% of the barrel in the group. But if you've got some care and love, we've got some retailers that will take it. We've got the relationship with the distributor, so it's not a big headache. We can offset some of that expense for you, and you can have better stuff for your bar or more stuff for your bar.
Well, I mean, I have
the I best know. I didn't mean it that way, but you said it's a big spend and you didn't want
to. I'm not trying to spend $14,000 on a barrel of Maker's Mark. If they'd let me pick one out of the Rick House that's 6 years old, that's got, you know, some angel share going on.
What if we take $5,000 off that for you? What if we take $8,000 off that for you?
Well, then I don't get it all.
Right, but
do you want to just give me $8,000?
What I'm saying
is, to the bar and drink it.
It feels like a second date conversation.
Yeah,
to you guys.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What I'm saying is, I'm trying to help you.
Well, no, I appreciate it.
If you want to do something and you don't want to do it all, we'll take the financial burden off you.
I'm just probably the most stingy person that you've had on your show. I'm not as
Morgan's
giving.
Here. I just told you.
No. And you just told me also that he just like opened up a bunch of stuff.
Morgan's a great guy. I'm just giving him.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. We opened a bar together once. It was fun. Yeah, I want it all for myself. The Germaine Robin stuff is just because people in Houston that go to bars don't want to drink brandy. I don't know what's wrong with you people.
I think they'll get there.
I don't know.
I think with like Armagnac is the second slowest moving category next to Grappa. Brandy's right like third or fourth.
No, I mean brandy as a whole, like including Grappa and Armagnac and like all of it.
You know, I've tried for years to push brandy at Bad News, and you know, the guys at Anvil have tried to do brandy promotions, and
it's not quite taken off yet.
But man, people just can't wrap their heads around it, I guess. I don't know why. It's delicious.
I'm not doing great. I don't know what the problem with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think if they called it...
It's fine because we're pouring it into the cocktails,
though. But I think if they called it grape whiskey, it'd be it would change perceptions.
I don't know how the French would feel about that. What's that?
Well, Guatemala. Knowing them, they'll just give up and surrender.
Fucking American.
I.
I said it with a French accent. Is that okay?
It's not a cuss word if you put a twang on it.
Yeah.
There is a guy. Don't be talking about the French. There's a guy who works at the distillery that hunts deer with a knife. He'd kill all four of us in this room without even batting an eye.
But what French deer do? You know, what's a French deer?
No, he hunts French,
you just put some mayonnaise on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that guy.
Luke.
Yeah.
Luke Stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, put a loaf of French bread on the ground, the deer gets up to it, you just kill it, and that's easy, man. What's the big deal?
That reminded me to bring back to a thing that we were talking about earlier. You mentioned
this offensive.
Our friend Kate Perry. She and I met on our collective first trip to Chateau Bombonnais to go to Cognac Franc and see all that stuff.
She seems like a... I say we're friends, we're Facebook friends, but I kind of tracked her down the moment I heard that Habitation Velier was coming. And basically, all the Haiti rums, all these incredible, like, just rum is, like, right on the precipice of an explosion here in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, places like Lalo and other bars have been killing it with rum, right? Mm-hmm. They know – their audience has. But overall, Plantation the last couple of years has been – yeah.
Amber on a barrel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I'll take a little bit in there. It's – places, you know, Plantation's been killing it in Texas.
Coming off that 120 bourbon.
Ooh.
Man, it's hard.
I have not given this one away yet, but somebody wants it.
It's hard to get past that Amber.
Somebody does want it?
It's so strong.
Who? Does it rhyme with?
I can tell you.
Does it rhyme with?
Hey ho?
Lassa?
I'll give you a hint. They're in the liquor industry.
Oh.
Ooh.
Specs. Does Specs do private barrels, you guys?
No.
Oh, we can make that happen.
I've offered it to him.
And they said no? Oh, dude. Oh, dude. I'm going to send it. I'll tell you something off air. Hold on.
Oh, yeah? Taking notes?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys, we should have been playing tic-tac-toe this whole time and just passing the thing around. just like wonder what people, the hell we're doing. What the hell are they doing?
No, there's been some developments recently that have been great.
Good, it tastes like an Amber on a barrel, though.
It's crazy good.
Like, where's the rum?
What's Amber on a? I don't know what it is. That's almond. That's coconut shavings. Like, the only thing missing is a texture of coconut. It literally tastes like you were to take a coconut and just kind of the Mounds bar without the nuts.
So on the nose, I get that Guatemalan rum for sure.
As long as you tell me who gets this, so that I can have some of it.
There'll be some. Yes.
I just want.
It's a retailer.
I told you that a couple months ago when I came by your house to taste it. It's so delicious.
Chris tried everything that's not available to the general public. He was smashed.
He was not smashed. I did leave with a Plantation hoodie that I've used.
Yeah, he's got one too, but inside, he decided to wear his little dipper hoodie instead.
I'll tell you that.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even think about it.
You know what's so funny?
Do you know what's really early for me? Like 7:30 in the fucking morning. In the effing morning. Jack?
FM. We're on FM station.
I like the little dipper.
Yeah.
The hoodies now also.
They make a good hoodie.
So I told him, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I wore a Glenfiddich sweater to Barrel, and some people in the industry were like, he wore another brand's sweater.
What did Will say?
Will didn't give a shit.
No, of course he didn't.
And so I told him about it. He's like, yeah, you don't wear another brand's.
He gave a shit. He was too nice of a guy to say something.
No, knowing Will... I'll tell you something.
I was wearing Chinar shoes around Rum JM. Nobody minded.
Oh, Rum JM.
They're not
going to
tell
good.
You. They're nice people.
No.
But that's not even.
Have you
brand.
Met Anya?
It's another
of course,
bar.
They're nice people. They're not going to tell you.
Okay.
Well, anyways, he gave me an OFTD sweater or a hoodie. It's tight. Yeah. It's tight.
It's super good. I got one. But it's in my closet. It was right next to this one. I picked this one instead.
Yeah. You say it's tight?
Yeah, it's tight.
Right. Tied to what?
It's tight.
Toit.
What movie is
that? Oh, one of those. With
you like a bong and a blintz? This pipe in a crate?
Bong and a
blintz? Yeah, there it is.
Right. Oh, I have no idea.
You're 22 years old. Which one? You failed me. 21?
Okay.
So Amberana barrels. You keep going on what you're
doing. What is Amberana?
It's a wood native to Brazil, at least, because Nate from Avoir Cachaça has a cachaça aged in Amberana barrels, and that's why I knew that flavor immediately, because it's very distinct.
So,
but it tastes to me, and I asked him about it when he first brought it to me. I was like, is that the tree that tonka beans grow on? He was like, I don't think so. And I looked it up, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Like, there was not a definitive answer on the internet.
I know nothing about the wood time. After it becomes a barrel. You know, sure. I don't know what grows on it before. But the thing is, like, the cachaça, they're one of the main spirits, the region, they use things other than oak, and there's all kinds of fun things they use. In fact,
of course.
We've used their, oh, gosh.
The zebra wood?
What?
Didn't you guys use zebra wood for Renegade 2?
Yeah.
By the way, is it Renegade 3?
I'll explain both of those in a second. But
we're running out of time, so hurry.
Okay, so
we're out of time.
In fact, we have a zebra cask right here. But zebra cask is just a reference to we're using two older and younger wood. So some is dark, some is white, so it looks like a zebra.
Sure.
Right, but sometimes it's different wood.
It's very racially charged. Got it.
It's very racially charged.
Holy you guys, come on.
What were we talking about before? Okay, so I can't remember Anvil did a Panama aged in...
What was it? There's still a bottle in the Bad News back bar. I bought it from Allen's.
And that was South American mahogany, but what they used to age also. So South Americans use a bunch of funky woods other than oak.
Ooh, that's a big weird nose.
So this is...
Can I remind you of tequila?
I've been dealing with this big weird nose for 50 years.
That's not that big.
I was talking about the rum, though.
So
it's very straight, at least.
So Guyana, 2008. This one is from Demerara Distillers in zebra cask, chestnut, and acacia wood.
Oh,
and
fun.
And that chestnut cask, I don't have proof, but it stands to reason that's probably the chestnut cask that we used for the Renegade Bow number 2.
Same one? Yeah. Likely?
Likely. I mean, most likely. To answer your question, there will be a Renegade Barrel number 3, but not this year. We're going to release the 10 generations.
I've been checking.
Oh, you guys are going to put that out?
Yep.
Nice.
50 CLs too, right?
No, you're thinking 500 CLs. No, it'll be 750.
No, 500 mLs is what I'm thinking, which is 50 CLs.
Okay, yes, you're correct. No, you can't do that
I'm
size.
I'm always correct.
Can you do that size in Texas?
I don't think you can. You can't do a half liter.
No. You're right.
So it'll be 750s. In fact, we're still waiting on the label approval in the bottle. It'll probably be this fall, hopefully.
So I've been checking label approvals, specifically waiting for Renegade 3 to come out. And I haven't seen it, but I did see 10th generation. So it's called?
10th generation, yeah.
10 generations, yeah. All right. This has been fantastic. I feel like we can do another segment, but we have to go.
This one's my favorite.
I mean, there's enough to drink. I've got more stuff in the bag. We could just do another one. Number 60.
Well, let's take the shot to the parking lot.
Yeah, we can't. We got to go. It's 5:00.
Get some hot wings.
Thanks so much. I'd love to have you back on and finish
this.
Oh, man,
anytime.
There's so much more to talk about, so much more to try and taste, and this has been fantastic. So, docs, thanks so much.
Oh, I'm not a doctor.
Doctor.